trouble with the church is the people.
Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you this week about church problems. Oh, do we get some letters about church problems? And I don't know about your church, but I've never been in a church that didn't have any problems. And as they always say, if we ever find the perfect church, it won't be perfect anymore if I join it. And that reminds me of an old comedy routine that I heard from some Britishers about, this was the miner who wanted to be a judge. Miner, M-I-N-E-R. He was a coal miner who had been ambitious to be a judge, but he said, "I didn't have the Latin for the judge in." He said, "You know, they have very rigorous exams for the judge in, but the mining exams, they're not very rigorous. There's no rigor involved, really. There's no rigor at all. The mining exams, they only ask you one question. They say, 'Who are you?' And I got 75% on that. But judging, you know, it's safer work than mining. You're not troubled by falling coal, for one thing. But with mining," he said, "the trouble with it is the people." Well, that's what's wrong with the church, too, isn't it? The trouble with the church is the people. We're sinners. It comes right down to that. What's the trouble with marriages? Well, it's the people. I read one time that G.K. Chesterton had seen an editor's query in the newspaper asking people to write letters explaining what's wrong with the world. So G.K. Chesterton, with wonderful clarity, wrote, "Dear Sir, I am." Yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. You and I are what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with the church. In no area of life is there a perfect equation between the ideal and the real. That's not news to any of us, is it? The real always lags considerably behind the ideal. And we must remember, when we get stuck with all sorts of very immediate problems in our church, that the church has never in history appeared as complete and perfect. The church is always in process, in development. In Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 27, we read, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Now, is the church now without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish? Well, certainly not. Am I, as a wife, without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish? Certainly not. And yet my husband has the responsibility to love me as Christ loved the church. And of course, my husband's not perfect. But Christ is perfect, yet he loves us, yet he puts up with us, yet he wants us as his bride. Can you imagine? I find that staggering. He wants us as his bride, and he loves us as his bride, and he gave himself up for us. Sacrificial love in order to make us holy and to cleanse us. Christians are of many denominations and many persuasions. And that's another thing that's very evident in the letters that I get from this program. All kinds of people are listening many who don't even call themselves Christians, many who belong to other denominations or other religions even, write to us. But as we know, there are many, many, many different kinds of Christians, many denominations and persuasions. Gateway to Joy is here for all who love Christ, who want to know Him better and love Him more. And I trust that if you're one who loves Christ, wants to know Him, wants to love Him, and wants to follow Him faithfully, that you do go to church. If you don't go to church, you ought to. We all see things in our churches that we would love to change. Some of us in my generation are getting a little bit, shall we say, antsy, uneasy about the kinds of music that we have to listen to sometimes in churches. Well, I don't know what it is that bothers you about your church, but there's something, isn't there? Somebody or something, the way they do things. We want the perfect church. Well, so does Christ. That's what Christ wants, the perfect church, the perfect bride. When you read the epistles, the letters in the New Testament written to young churches, you find every sin that you can find in your church. There's nothing new about any of them. The church in Corinth was a real mess. You know, they not only had incest among members of the church, but they even had people getting drunk at the communion service. They had people getting drunk at the Lord's table. And Paul, in his list of sufferings, gives us not only shipwrecks and floggings and imprisonments, but he adds one more thing, the care of all the churches. And in 1 Corinthians, he censures those who brag about belonging to Paul or Apollos or Cephas or even those who say, but I belong to Christ. There's spiritual pride there, isn't there? There's a party spirit. There are many churches today that are built around a personality, and many of them are huge churches. People love a charismatic personality. But the church should be centered around Christ, shouldn't it? It is Christ we love, Christ we worship, Christ whom we want to make Lord of our lives. Not a man-centered, cultish, popularity-oriented church. What matters most, the size of the congregation, the music, the showmanship? What do you think the first qualification is that people look for in a church? Well, that would depend on the person, I guess. I don't know statistically, but I'm sure that the size of the congregation has something to do with some people's going to church. Others would say, oh, I like the music, or I like the preacher. I like the fact that they don't make you feel bad. You can hear sermons there that don't make you feel bad. But you know what the first cause of conflict is? It is that divine truth is conveyed in clay pots. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that we have a treasure, but it's in earthen vessels. We are just human clay, human instruments, fallible, finite. None of us has ever seen God. I believe that the Bible is God's word, divinely inspired, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. But the Bible enters our individual consciousness differently. We have different conceptions, different notions. Even the Apostle Paul, whom we would consider a very spiritually minded man and a giant intellectually, said, "Now we see through a glass darkly." If the kingdom of God were merely a matter for argumentation and cold reason, if the truth were crystal clear without any veil over it, it wouldn't require us to exercise faith. Have you thought about that? If the kingdom of God were beyond argument, if it were crystal clear without a veil, we wouldn't have to exercise faith. That can be a very hard and difficult task. We have to learn to trust. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have to seek diligently and follow hard and hang on even in darkness and uncertainty. Someone is listening to me today who is hanging on by his or her fingernails in darkness and uncertainty, saying, Lord, are you really there? Do you hear my prayers? My church is falling apart. My family's falling apart. My business is falling apart. I'm falling apart. Trust him. Seek diligently. Hang on, even in the darkness and the uncertainty. And the New Testament is full of clues as to the state of things. In the book of James, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Is that the way you listen to the sermon? Immediately forgetting what you saw in that mirror? But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. I'm reading from James 1:26. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We'll be talking all this week about church problems.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.